Well, do you ever feel like running away? Running away from something you might be afraid of? It seems that we have a tendency to run from stuff we're afraid of. There's this whole fight or flight thing, and too often we choose the flight thing. We run from what we're afraid of. I remember when I was 15 years old, I was trying to train as an athlete, and I was quite a few pounds lighter than I am now. But I would run 3 miles. Yes, this was back in the miles days. I would run 3 miles every day out in the country as we live on the farm in Manitoba. And the route that I would run is part of it was on gravel roads, but there was this one stretch which was on a dirt road through the fields. And so I would be running along this road along next to the woods and the fields on one side, and I would come up to the top of a hill, and when I got to the top of the hill, there was grain growing on the one side, and so I was running along, and the grain was about just over knee high at this point, and I'm running along, and I noticed something in the grain, and it's moving, and it's coming my direction, and so I ran past it, and then stopped and turned around. And I looked back, and what came out of the grain but a skunk. And initially, the skunk turned and ran the other way, but I had no idea why he stopped and turned around and started running toward me. And he was coming toward me, and at first I hesitated, and I thought, I better get out of here. And so I turned around and ran, and the last that I saw, he was still chasing me. And so even though I paused, I'm sure that's the fastest I ever ran those 3 miles. Or I would visit my cousins. They lived a quarter mile from where we lived out on the farm. And sometimes I would come home after it was dark. And I remember coming home, it was pitch black outside. And of course, in the dark, when you are a teenager, anytime, your imagination works. And so I would start walking home, and I was sure there was an animal behind me. And because there weren't other humans around, so it had to be an animal. And so I would hear this, and I would start to jog a little, and sure enough, whatever was started jogging along with me. And so I'd run faster, and it kept chasing me no matter, and I was just running as hard as I could. There never was anything, but I was afraid of whatever it was, and so I ran. We tend to run away from what we're afraid of. Sometimes we run from things that we don't want to do. Like in school, and your teacher asks for a volunteer, suddenly you try to hide. And the teacher doesn't know you're there. But we still try to hide. Or the boss is looking for somebody to do an unpleasant task, and suddenly we want to disappear so they can't find us. Or you're walking along the street, and you see somebody, and you know that if they see you, they're going to ask something of you that you don't want to do, and so you quickly slip into the nearest store, and you hope it's appropriate wherever you walk into. We have all these things that we tend to run away from, things that we fear. Sometimes we even try to run away from God. We get the idea that God is trying to get our attention about something, and we try to stay away from where we think God might be, so that he can't talk to us, he can't communicate, we don't feel guilty about responding. So we stay away from church, or we stay away from our home group, or we avoid the pastor because somehow God will speak closer. We believe God wants us to do something, and so we tend to run the other way. We have that natural tendency. Well, this morning I want us to look at an individual who tried to run away from God. He was even considered to be a very deeply religious person, but he had issues. And so he ran. And I want us to see what we can learn from him and from his interaction with God. So I want us to start a series that I've entitled The Chronicles of Nineveh, from now on until I officially retire at the end of August. And we want to look at one chapter each week and look at a character that I often find myself identifying with, and that is Jonah. And we want to look at the book of Jonah. Jonah was a prophet. And as a prophet, he was someone that God had called to speak God's message, God's truth to the people, whatever God instructed them to communicate. And this morning, I'd like for us to look at the first chapter in Jonah and see what we can learn from him and for our lives from this book, from this chapter. And as we consider this first chapter this morning, I'd like for us to observe the actions of three different groups or individuals. First of all, we'll look at Jonah, and then we'll look at the sailors, and then at God himself, to see what we can learn from each of those. Now, I have to admit that this morning, typically I have the words of the scripture on the screen, and I've decided that through this series, I'm going to invite you to actually bring your Bibles along to follow along. So this morning, you'll have to take, if you didn't bring a Bible in hardcover and paper or electronically, you'll have to take my word for it that I'm reading the right thing from scripture. But we're going to read through the first chapter and then look into what we can learn from it. So Jonah chapter 1, it tells us, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, 'How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish.' Then the sailors said to each other, 'Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity.' They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, 'Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?' He answered, 'I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land.' This terrified them, and they asked, 'What have you done?' They knew he had been running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, 'What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?' 'Pick me up and throw me into the sea,' he replied, 'and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you.' Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, 'O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased.' Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights." So first we want to look at Jonah. Well, obviously here, Jonah, he tried to run away from God. Should I emphasize, he tried to run away from God. And I thought, is he trying to run away from the presence of God? I guess he must not have read Psalm 139, where it says, "Where can I flee from you? Where can I flee from your spirit?" And the psalmist says, well, there is no place you can go where you can flee from the Lord. So I guess he must not have read that. So he tried to flee from the presence of God. He tried to flee from what God wanted him to do, to run away. And so he headed for Tarshish. And I thought, does he not think that God is in Tarshish? I don't know what he thought about that place, that he thought he could get away from God. But nonetheless, he's trying to go there to get away from God. And I wonder, why did he run? Did he run because he couldn't stand the people of Nineveh? Was it that they were like the terrible ones? It's like if you live in Alberta, if you're in Calgary, then Edmonton is the hated people, you know, because they have the Oilers up there, and they have the used-to-be Eskimos, and now they're the Elks up there. And so they're the arch enemy over there, and so you can't stand. So they're like Tarshish or like whatever. No, they're like Nineveh, whatever. And was it that kind of a thing that he hated them? Or you know, between Vancouver and Toronto, the media, they don't stand each other, especially in sports. And I was trying to think, is there one of those that we think of in Salmon Arm? Never mind, we don't have to go there. But is it one of those? Or was he simply afraid to go to Nineveh? Was he simply afraid that if I go to Nineveh, they're going to beat me up? They're going to torture me over there. Was he afraid of that? Or was he just tired of preaching? And he wanted to go traveling instead of going preaching? Or was he facing a midlife crisis of some kind and wanted a career change, and rather than buy a sports car or a Harley, he tried to run away? Whatever. Was he trying to run away? Why was he running away from God? Well, the real reason we actually find in Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. In the end, it's after God had spared Nineveh, Jonah stated, he said in Jonah 4, verse 2, "O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I know that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." You see, Jonah simply did not want God to spare the people of Nineveh. He did not want God to spare them, because Nineveh was part of Syria, and Syria had been prophesied to be the ones that would destroy Israel. And Jonah knew that Nineveh was an evil place. So if God destroyed Nineveh, then maybe Israel would be spared. So if he didn't go to preach to Nineveh, then they might not have an opportunity to repent, and then maybe God would destroy them after all, and then they would be spared. So he didn't want to go, because he knew that if he went and preached and the people repented, then God would do what God does and he would spare them. And he didn't want that. And so he ran. He ran the other way. And I wonder, do we ever run away from God? Do we run away from God because there's something he wants us to do? And maybe that's something he wants us to do, maybe we even don't want to have happen. That's all too possible. But as we look at Jonah, even though we see that Jonah ran away from God, we find that Jonah still had a strong faith and trust in God. It's not like he abandoned his faith in God. He still had his trust, but he was trying to run away. It was evident in that Jonah worshiped God. It tells us in verse 9 that Jonah worshiped God. But I thought his worship is maybe a little bit like for us sometimes, where we come together on Sunday morning and we worship God here, and then we run from what he wants us to do. But he still worshiped God. Jonah knew that the cause for the storm, he knew that it was because of what God was doing, because of what he had done. He knew that God would rescue the sailors if, in fact, he was out of the picture. He had that strong faith and trust still. And in his strong faith, Jonah still had the boldness to talk about God. That's amazing to me. Jonah had the boldness to speak about God. Because he was running away from Nineveh, we might be inclined to think that he, in fact, would be afraid to talk about God and what God was doing. I mean, how would you feel if you were running away from God and you got on board a ship full of hard and nasty sailors? People that clearly were an ungodly bunch of people, what would you do and what would you say? And they ask you, "Who are you?" Wouldn't we kind of have a tendency to say, "Well, oh, I'm just searching for the meaning of life." Or, I'm just traveling and looking for adventure. But that's not Jonah. Jonah, he boldly talked about God. When they asked him, "Who are you?" he boldly answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land," knowing full well that these guys did not worship the same God. But he declared that to them. And in verse 10, it tells us he'd already told them earlier that he was running away from God. And in verse 14, he told the sailors enough about God that they, in fact, cried out to God. And as I thought about this and thought of Jonah, even where he was running from God among all these people that he knew were, as he would have thought, pagan sailors, he talked about God. And I wonder, how would I respond? He spoke to God. He spoke about God. What do we do? Do we talk about God to people that we come in contact with in our world in which we live? Do we talk about God anytime? Never mind when we might be running from God. And I wonder, do we talk about God to other people when things are going well and we're in tune with God? Never mind when we might be in a place of disobedience. Now, we would be inclined, if you're like me, is to disguise yourself as much as possible, to kind of just fit in. certainly you'd take that fish sticker off of the back of your car, whatever you might do to not let people think that you were following God. Some of us need to be a little bit more like Jonah and talk about God and to talk about our faith. To talk to people around us in everyday life, in natural settings, to talk about the difference that God makes, that he's made, and even talk about the call he has in our lives. To talk about God even in our failures, even when we are struggling, to talk to those around us about God, the people that we work with, the people that we play with. Who knows what impact it might make in their lives if we share about our faith and we share about God, the God who made the sea and the land. Well, now let's take a look at the sailors. What can we learn from these sailors? Well, we find that these sailors, we think about sailors as a bunch of rough and tough characters who wouldn't be afraid of anything, right? But when we think of these sailors, the first thing that comes to mind for some of us is probably somebody like Long John Silver, and who wasn't afraid of anything and made everybody afraid of him, right? Anybody here have no idea who Long John Silver is? Oh, for those of you who don't know Long John Silver, you might think of Captain Jack Sparrow, and we want to be like him or not. First of all, we learn about these sailors, that these sailors, they worship many different gods. It says when the storm came up in verse 5, they all called on their gods. Many mystical gods were common belief in those days, and so they worshiped these various gods that they would call on. Among these mystical gods would be the god of the sea, and the god of the sea was Neptune. No, they don't talk about Neptune as the god of the sea. So they would have cried out to these gods, these mystical gods, gods who supposedly controlled the sea. They called on them for help, and what happened? Nothing. They called out on these gods, and they didn't come to rescue them at all. That's probably why they were so impressed when Jonah, who worshiped the true God, when he called on this God that he worshiped, he calmed the storm and the storm stopped. All their crying out to their gods, including their gods of the seas, they didn't do anything, but Jonah's God, when Jonah called out, stopped the storm. He was the God who had in fact created the sea. It made me wonder, what are some of the gods that we have created that we might tend to worship? A god is anything that we worship, that we allow it to have control over us. For some of us, we may still have gods of superstition that we allow to control us. It's amazing to me how still, even in Christian circles, when it comes to a Friday and it happens to be a 13th, we have this notion of something ominous is about to happen. It's like we still have a notion of worshiping something superstitious here. Or you walk under a ladder or you see a black cat and we have these things. Suddenly, those of us that are following Jesus, we have this notion, moment of fear, whatever. It's amazing. Or there are so many people in this world that will not go into the day until they have read their horoscope to see whether the stars have aligned it somehow that the day should be thus and how they should respond. Literally worshiping the gods of the universe, whatever that might be. We have different things that we tend to worship, that we allow to control us. Sometimes we worship human intellect and reason. That if it doesn't seem reasonable to us in our human thought that we can understand and reason through, then it must not be true. We worship human reason. And with that comes our worship of science. Now, I value science. Science is something God has created. But sometimes we worship science as the ultimate truth. But we approach science in our world today with the presupposition that God doesn't exist. Now, as a scientist, if you assume that God doesn't exist, what if you're wrong? Then, in fact, in your scientific world, you're making a presupposition which is false. And therefore, your conclusions will be false. We tend to worship what we can figure out in our own minds. We will explore the expanse of the universe, trying to find life out there. Trying to somehow find life out there in the universe beyond this earth. But we don't want to accept that, in fact, we know there is life beyond this earth. And that's God himself and all his angelic hosts that's out there. It's there, folks. But do we worship our own mind and our own limits that we have? Sometimes we worship these things. Sometimes we worship money. And money is what controls us. Sometimes we get to where we worship the most influential person or the author of the day or whoever it happens to be has the most followers on social media. We tend to worship these things, these people. The sailors, they finally turned to the true God. And when they followed his instructions, then help came. So why are we so often just like those sailors? We turn everywhere but to God for help. But then, as so typically as humans, the sailors try to save themselves. Even after they heard from Jonah, even after Jonah told them what they needed to do, they still tried to rescue themselves. They tried to row back to land. Jonah said this, no, we can do this. And so they get on the oars and they say, guys, we can do this, but they couldn't. That's just what we often do. We try to rescue ourselves. Even after God has told us what we need to do, we still try to do it ourselves. And when it comes to our eternal destiny, we are in a worse predicament than these sailors were in that moment. We try to do what we can to be good enough, to do all those things ourselves that somehow we will make it. We will do what we can. I'll even go to church, even though I don't like to go to church. I'll go to church. I'll even give money, and I'll even help the poor, and I'll try to live a good life to somehow do it myself. But the Bible teaches us that the only way that we can be rescued is by Jesus Christ. Our part is to believe God, to trust God, and then to follow him and his instruction. Like the sailors had to believe what Jonah told them, then they had to follow the instructions that he gave them. Believing Jonah and trying to save themselves didn't work. They still had to trust God. We need to accept that we cannot save ourselves because we need Jesus Christ. We need his forgiveness. And then we're called to follow him. Now, it seems that the sailors finally did believe. They followed instructions. It says they even sacrificed to God and made vows to him. Then finally, I'd like to turn our attention to God, to see the actions of God. Although Jonah is the main character and the sailors are a central part of the cast, God is the one who is in charge. Jonah was running away from who? From God, okay? You can say the word God in church. He tried to run from God, and who was it that sent the storm? And who was it that eased the storm? Oh, we're getting bolder. And the sailors worshiped whom eventually? Very good. They worshiped God. God was at the center. What are some of the things that we learn about God as we look at this passage here? We find that God is involved in our lives. He's not just some power out there, some superpower or mystical power, somewhere out there in a fantasy land called heaven. He is involved in our lives, and God communicates with us. He speaks to us. Sometimes he speaks us through his scriptures, the Bible that we have, and he speaks to us. There's times when he speaks to us through other people. And sometimes he speaks simply to us, to our spirit. And I've experienced God speaking to my life in all of those ways. He is interested and he speaks to us. God is involved in our lives and he invites us to him. He invites us and then he calls us to serve him. To serve him where we are, where we live, where we work, where we go to school. Sometimes it is just through the vocation, the place where we find ourselves. Other times he calls us to a particular vocation in order to serve him the way that he calls for us. And for some people, he calls them into ministry, whatever that ministry might be. And I still believe that God calls people into ministry. There's no way that I could have done what I've done and lasted till now if God wasn't the one who had called us to ministry. I believe that God still does that, and we desperately need him to call people into ministry these days. God calls us to serve him, and God uses us. He uses us in everyday life. As we share in the lives of people and as Christ's character is revealed, as we follow him and we live his life as the Spirit controls us, changes us, moves us, impacts the lives of people, as people see that, they see that and they respond to him. They see him. We then need to allow God to use us, whether we're at school or in the office. Sometimes he will use us in special ways in ministries, sometimes for a period of time, sometimes for a lifetime in certain ministries. And the question is, are we open to God's call? Are we willing to listen? Or is that one of those things that we turn around and head for a ship that will take us to Tarshish? We also learn that God affects nature. You see, God's power is absolute. God is in control of nature around us. Now, yes, God put laws in place. When he created this universe, he put laws in place that will govern nature. He put those laws in place when he created the universe. But there's times when God steps in a supernatural way beyond those laws of nature, and he will do the unusual, the spectacular, the miraculous. As was the case when we sent the storm. As was the case when he sent this great fish that we will talk about a little bit more next week. As we find that God, he was the one, as Jonah said, he is the one that created all this. And he can step in and intervene at any time. And it made me think about, do we ever think about the fact that God is still in control today? Or do we simply look at the world around us and this is just something that happened and so be it? God can still step in and intervene even in nature today. Do we view nature as out of God's control? Then third, as we observe God in this chapter, I'm greatly encouraged to see that God doesn't give up on us. God didn't give up on Jonah. Even though Jonah ran away from God, even though Jonah was called to a specific task that God had for him, communicated to him, he went the other way, but God didn't give up on him. Now, he didn't make it easy for him either. But he didn't give up on him. We might disobey God, but I believe that even as we disobey God, God will steer us back in the direction that he wants us to go. Sometimes we feel like we've blown it, that something we've done, that God's going to abandon us, that God no longer has a use for us. But I believe that's not so. Like Jonah, God has greater faith in us than we often do. God will then move us in the direction he wants. I believe that God does have a plan for our lives. Not something that we need to agonize over and beat ourselves to death over and go through all kinds of antics to somehow discover, because God is way more interested in letting you know than you are in finding out. But I believe that God will guide us and direct us, sometimes in gentle ways and sometimes in dramatic and drastic ways. Sometimes we might even give up and start to go in a different direction, but I believe that God will start to turn us back to where he wants us to go. It's like when God called us into local church ministry, and the bizarre thing was is our son was 8 months old as we then headed off to Bible college to prepare and train for ministry. And the day before we left, we found out we were expecting our second child, and then headed off to school with enough money for one semester. I mean, how irresponsible could we be? But nonetheless, we felt this is what God called us, and so we moved forward into that. That meant that we were very frugal people. That's one way to put it. And so we went to school for a year, and then we're out for a year to try to regroup, and then went back for a second year, and then for a third year. And by the end of the third year, our kids are starting to grow up a little bit, and we were living moment by moment, and we had virtually nothing. And after the third year, I was totally tired of it. I says, I'm tired of this. I don't see the point. I'm going to go back and pursue normal life. So I was going to leave college behind and go find a different job and do something else. And guess what God did? He says, I'm not done yet. And so there was a church in the next town over that I maybe had heard about the church before, and I certainly knew nothing about them. They contacted me, and I'm like, that's kind of weird. They contacted me and asked me if I would consider coming and serving as an associate pastor at their church while I could complete my last year of study at the Bible College. And when this came out and opened, suddenly all the very objections and walls that I'd put up, why I couldn't go back, didn't want to go back to school, God took care of them all in one phone call, essentially. God doesn't give up on us, even though we're ready to turn and pull the Jonah. God is God. Jonah was a man chosen by God to carry his message to the world around him. He ran away, but God brought him back. The sailors were men who didn't know God. But through a preacher who was running away, they came to know God. And they came to experience God's power and God's mercy. And God is a God of love, a God of mercy, and a God who wants us to follow him. We can trust him. So my question to you this morning is, do you see yourself here in the story of Jonah? Has God called you to something? And maybe even now you find yourself running away from what he wants. Has God been speaking to you about some area of your life and you've been trying not to give in to what he's speaking to you about? I would encourage you this morning to turn back to him, to return to him, and to give your life to him fully once again. Maybe you're like one of the sailors. You've never come to the place of putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, of getting to know Jesus personally. You may have heard about him, but you've never stopped. You've never decided to stop running your own life, trying to rescue yourself, trying to save yourself. Why don't you, even this morning, like those sailors, stop trying yourself so hard and trusting Jesus and responding to him and begin to follow him. I would invite you all to turn to Jesus, to turn toward Jesus, to look at him, to believe him, to believe in him, and then to follow him. After all, here at Broadview, we believe we are called to be a community of Christ followers who love God and impact the world for Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your amazing grace and mercy. Thank you that you are the creator, the one who came up with the whole idea of this universe and beyond all this stuff that's out here that we are trying to discover and get to know and figure out, and all too often trying to figure that out without having you in the picture. But Lord, thank you for being who you are. Thank you for revealing yourself to us, even as we look at this creation, to see how it declares you, declares your craftsmanship, your creativity. Thank you for speaking into the lives of people that were prophets of years gone by where you spoke and you performed the miraculous and people could see that you were there and that you were speaking through them. Lord, thank you for how there were those that put it down on some kind of manuscript that ultimately we have it and somebody that was skilled to translate it so we can read it in our language today. To hear your instruction, your word, and communicating to us. Thank you that you are present in our lives and that you also want to speak into our very lives personally and directly. Thank you for that. But Lord, there's times when we're not so thankful about it because we want to do our own thing. And those are times when we tend to want to shut off that communication. And if we're honest, some of us are just like Jonah. And maybe we don't physically, maybe we do. Go somewhere, try to get away from where you are, from what you are calling us to. Lord, this morning as we've been challenged by Jonah, by the sailors, by you, Lord, we pray that as we open our lives, and right in this moment, we just want to open our hearts before you and say, Lord, speak. I pray for those that have been running, that even in these moments, they would have the courage to stop, turn around, to look up and see you lovingly looking into their eyes and say, you know what, I'm not done. I believe in you because I'm at work in you. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you would bring them back to you, and even today they would choose to get back on the road that you're leading them. For those that maybe like the sailors that have been trying to row back to eternal shore somehow on their own, realizing it's just not possible, I pray that even this morning you would open their hearts and they would say yes to you. Lord, thank you for not giving up on us. May we experience your rescue. And then may others experience rescue as they see and experience what you are doing. And so we open our lives to you. May your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.